went to a sushi restaurant over the weekend. Sushi, I said. You know what sushi is? It's anything you can imagine wrapped in rice and sliced up and given to you for large amounts of cash. So I go to the sushi. I don't really like sushi too much because I don't understand it. It's like serving you something already cut up, and you can have a certain number of bites and it's over. It's kind of like eating chocolates, only it's with rice and crap in it. So I don't really like it. But I went with somebody who loves, they love sushi. As soon as you say the word sushi, there's some type of orgasmic thing going on with them. Their eyes start rolling back in their head. It just gets crazy. So I figured, well, I got to try this place. Look at how weird they look when they say sushi. So we go to the sushi place, which is supposed to be very, very famous for their wonderful sushi. And I'm going in there, and I start laughing, and my friend says, "What are you laughing at?" And I said, "The menu. It's stupid." And he says, "What's so stupid about the menu?" I said, "The euphoric names that you give this wrapped rice thing, it's just stupid." And I start reading off the names, and I don't have them in front of me. I don't come prepared to do this show. But they're euphoric names of their sushi. It's like happy wanderer and euphoric mountains and pleasure island. They consist. What are you doing? It's tuna fish wrapped in rice, man. Why? Popular love of life, highest pleasures. God, are you naming sushi or some type of sexual aid cream? I mean, seriously.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey,
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. So, needless to say, I did not enjoy the sushi experience, but it was very funny to me. It was really funny. I think I ended up eating The Lovely World. I think that's what it was called, The Lovely World. I don't know what was in it, but it was The Lovely World. And I got a little pissed because I ordered it, and then they bring it over, and I expected to have some food. You know, I was hungry. I came to a restaurant. I expect to eat some food. They bring me this very ornate plate with six little things on it. Six little chunks of something wrapped in rice. And it's very nicely put on the plate, and they squirt it. I don't think squirt is the right word. They adorn the plate with some type of whitish kind of sauce. Not a lot of it, just like squiggles of it. I call them squirts. And they place it in front of me, and I I felt like looking at the waiter and saying, where's the rest of it? What? So they give me chopsticks, which I love because nothing's more fun than making it a game to pick up your food. That's always fun, you know, but I've become quite good at it. I can pick anything up with chopsticks. So it does make it more fun. So there are six pieces in front of me. I ate my entire dinner in about 45 seconds. And my friend, for some reason, was eating a lot slower, putting one piece of sushi in her mouth, and then, like, a minute later, putting another piece in. Took her 6 minutes to eat. Took me, like, maybe a minute and a half. I was still hungry. I'm not going back. I'm not a sushi fan. I know some of you are just live and die by your sushi. You want to go out for sushi tonight? Oh my God. Oh, my organs just moved. Oh my God, sushi? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I like the California roll. I think the California roll is avocado and maybe a little crab meat. I don't know what that is. Again, wrapped in some kind of like black paper. I don't know if it's cellophane or what. And then, of course, a roll of rice around it, a couple of chopsticks, and I guess that's really all there is to this. And I look over behind, they have a counter where they have a couple of sushi chefs that are always just standing there. And either they look like so bored, but they can't take out their cell phones to play games, or they're really, really busy. And I watch them when they start rolling the sushi. The intensity in these sushi chefs, they're solving some kind of world problem, or they're taking some type of SAT test. The concentration to roll stuff up and then put it on a plate in the... You know why the sushi looks so fancy on a plate? Because you're just getting six pieces of something. They have to make it look interesting. Otherwise, everybody would say, what's the deal with this? What I ordered and this is what I... Six pieces of this is it? So they hide it by making it pretty so that when the waiter or the waitress or whatever you call those people comes over with the food, you don't go, oh, that's all. Instead, you go, oh, that's beautiful. And by the time you get down to actually eating it, the wait staff has walked away, packed up and gone home, and you got nobody to complain to. It's a fascinating place. It really is. How are you, by the way? How are you today? You doing all right? All right, here's something that I came across in the mail that this kind of was under the category of it's just gone way too far. Technology has gone way too far. It's telling me things that there's no way that I would possibly really want to know this. And it comes from my good friends at Domino's. Domino's has become so high tech that it's become annoying in two ways. I have one of those Alexa things. They're from Amazon. It's a little item. You put it on a table and you talk to it and it talks back and it gives you information. Google has one. Amazon has one. It's called the Echo or something, or it's called the whatever it's called. A lot of people, it's about $50. And it's pretty cool because you can say to it, Alexa, what's the temperature outside? And she will tell you. It's kind of nice. But they carry these things too far. Did you know you can actually order a pizza from Domino's through this little Alexa thing instead of like taking out your cell phone or your telephone and calling them? That's gone way too far. I'm not that lazy. I couldn't possibly. I am the laziest person in the world that you'll ever meet, but even I can't be that lazy. I get something in the mail called, and it's a sheet of paper, and it says Domino's Tracker. Know where your pizza is at every step. Okay, here's the deal. Apparently, you can go online or on your smart little phone, and you can actually track your pizza. So in other words, you order your pizza, and and they say, all right, I'll be ready in 15 minutes. I say, okay, fine. You go down there in 15 minutes, you pick it up. Or if you're having it delivered, it'll be delivered in like 45 minutes. Okay, I'll wait for you here in the house. This is where I live. It's kind of easy. It's not a real big deal. But for those that really have to know minute by minute how your pizza is doing, this is for you. It's the Domino's Tracker. I can't imagine being so pathetic that I need to know how far along in the process my pizza is right now. So you ordered a thing, they say 15 minutes. After 5 minutes, you're saying to yourself, where's my pizza? Well, they said 15 minutes. Why are you asking where your pizza is after 5 minutes? I gotta know. I placed an order, I gotta know where my pizza is. So I guess you go online and you type in your pizza tracking number. This is like tracking airline flights or something. You type in your pizza number, and it says on the screen, progress, pepperoni being placed on pizza. I don't need to know all this. This is just too much. Somebody has gone way too far. And I guess they wouldn't go that far if there weren't people that actually had to know any given minute how far along their pizza is. Again, get a life, man. Get a life. Now, I can see after 15 minutes, which they said it would take to prepare and deliver and whatever your pizza, I can understand after 15 minutes you saying to yourself, where's my pizza? Then you might call them up and say, hey, where's my pizza? I don't see the reason for tracking the thing. I can see tracking a package. Perhaps you're waiting for it to get home and you have to leave and go to work or something, and you want to see if your package is going to arrive today, or you have to make plans for somebody to be there to sign. I can see tracking a package, making sure it gets to its destination. But I would be quite embarrassed if anybody knew that I spent the time tracking my pizza. Oh, man. Domino's, man. What the hell are you doing to our society? Who are the people that put the cheese and the bacon in the crust? That wasn't Domino's, was it? Those people should be shot, too. You don't put cheese and bacon in crust. That's murder. That is actual premeditated murder by that pizza. It is. You know that whoever is going to eat that crust with the bacon and the cheese inside the crust, you know those people are not going to be around much longer. Never sell them furniture where they can take up to 5 years to pay, because they're not going to last that long. Some furniture companies are doing that now. They're saying no interest, no payments for a whole year, and you can take like 4 to 5 years to pay. What kind of deal is that? Whatever happened to, here's the furniture, you give me the money, thank you. What is that? Why do people have to second mortgage their homes to buy a couch? That's basically what you're saying. I don't have enough money to get a couch, so I guess I can't get a couch. No, I guess you can't. Maybe you should be get a couple of chairs and put them in front of the TV and call it a day, man. If you don't have the money for a couch, don't get a couch. I don't know. I don't get the furniture companies. I don't understand it. I'll give you a whole room full of furniture. You don't have to pay for it. Okay, fine. I guess I'll order some then. Do you have a furniture tracker so I can see where my furniture is? Seriously, man. This is crazy.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hey, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I think you know that. I do this every single weekday, like I breathe. I breathe every weekday, and I do the show every weekday. So please, make me a habit. I mean, don't sit down and sew me a habit that the nuns wear. I mean, just make it a habit to listen. You know what I'm talking about. Thank you very much. I warned you a long time ago, but a lot of you didn't listen to me. I warned you. There were signs, but you didn't listen. There were signs.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah, that message is for the President of the United States, the POTUSWALCKBDDD. That was for you, fake president. Shut up. Leave me alone. Get out of my life. Go do your stupid little crap and get out of my life. I warned you, there were signs.
A sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
I warned you. All right, here's some fake news. I mean, he refers to things as fake news. This is kind of fake news. It's not wrong, but it's not right. So I guess it's not news, but I'm not saying it's news, though. I'm not calling it news. So let's call a spade a douche here. This is not real news. This is something that is possible. It's of consideration. Let's call it that. This is from AOL, which, I mean, seriously, what could be more prestigious than that? Dozens of psychiatry experts claim Trump has dangerous mental illness. There was a conference held, I don't know where, because it didn't print out, but there was a conference held, dozens of psychiatry experts, which would be psychiatrists, claim that Trump has dangerous mental illness. Amid backlash, a group of psychiatrists claimed on Thursday at a conference at Yale University, okay, that's where it was, that President Donald Trump has a dangerous mental illness and is not fit to be president of the United States. Well, you should have brought it up earlier. Nice to know now if that's the case. According to The Independent, over 30 mental health experts, all of whom have never personally examined the president, say they have an ethical responsibility to warn the public about Donald Trump's dangerous mental illness. Yes, you do. Yes, you do have that responsibility. Dr. John Gartner, a practicing psychotherapist and advisor to psychiatric residents at Johns Hopkins University Medical School, said during the conference that the president is paranoid and delusional. Excuse my language, but no shit. The group of mental health experts has drawn criticism from both sides of the political aisle, along with others from within the psychology field, for violating the American Psychiatric Association's Goldwater Rule. Oh, the Goldwater Rule. Watch out now. The Goldwater Rule says no mental health professional should attempt to diagnose or give professional opinions on someone without having personally examined them. Well, that seems to be fair. However, the guy is plastered all over the world and all over everything. I think you can read him from that. Worse than that, just being a liar or a narcissist, in addition, he is paranoid, delusional, and grand loose thinking, and he proved that to the country the first day that he was president. If Donald Trump really believes he had the largest crowd size in history, that's delusional, said Dr. Gartner, who is also a founder of Duty to Warn, an organization of mental health professionals who feel Trump is unfit to be president. Well, I know he's unfit to be president. I don't need psychiatrists to demonstrate that to me. I see it myself. I know he's unfit. I formed my own opinion, my own examination of the president, and he's definitely not fit. Are you kidding me? Of course he's not fit. I don't think anybody thinks he is. I think that's why he was elected, because he didn't fit. No, he's a mental patient. There's no question about it. That was me with my opinion, by the way. Now back to the article. During the conference, psychiatrist and New York University professor James Gilligan, wonder how his island is doing. He said, based on his experience with working with murderers and rapists, he can recognize dangerousness from a mile away. Well, you don't have to be an expert on dangerousness or spend 50 years studying it like I have in order to know how dangerous this man is, says Gillian. Earlier this year, Dr. Gartner created an online petition calling for mental health professionals to declare Donald Trump is mentally ill and must be removed. The change.org petition currently has 8,065 signatures. Well, that's not enough. I mean, it's impressive, but it's not enough. I'll sign it. Connecticut Republican Party Chairman J.R. Romano responded to the convention calling Trump mentally ill by saying, "This is a sad day. These so-called professionals have thrown ethical standards out the window because they cannot accept the election results." No. Well, no, I can't accept the election results. That's true. But he's still mentally ill. In response to criticism over his long-distance diagnosis of President Trump, Dr. Gartner said, "This notion that you need to personally interview someone to form a diagnosis actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense. For one thing, research shows that the psychiatric interview is the least statistically reliable way to make a diagnosis." Well, there you have it, kids. That's the article. I know that each one of us have formed our own opinion as to whether the so-called president has a mental illness. I personally do not think there's any question that he does. He has many of them. If you come up with a list of recognized disorders, I believe that Donald Trump possesses every single one. He is a walking disorder. He is. There's no question about it. Now, some of these disorders might be rather normal, and we might have a tinge of it in most of us. But when you're a poster child disorder, I think it's a different story. This man is still angry at something. You may have said to yourself, Barack Obama was not a great president. You may have formed that opinion. I thought he was pretty cool. I had no problem with him. But a lot of people did for various reasons. Donald Trump's insistence on Barack Obama not being an American citizen is some type of a mental illness. There is a man, everything that you accuse people of in their opinion of Donald Trump actually does the things that he accuses people of. He accuses the media of making stuff up. Donald Trump himself makes things up. He accuses people of doing things for political reasons just to increase their popularity. That's what Donald Trump does. Everything he accuses people of doing, he himself does. That's what makes it so odd to me. Now, I don't want to spend the whole show talking about this man. I really don't. I just wanted to say, not that I warned you, but I saw the signs.
Everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? The sign said anybody caught trespassing would be shot on sight.
All right.
Now listen here.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Let's talk to our guest. Very, very interesting guest today. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. I'm doing great.
Great. This is Barbara Oakley, PhD, and we're going to talk about how to discover hidden potential and change your life's path at any age, even including mine, which I didn't think was possible. This is a hidden concern that most people have, but something that they never talk about, or maybe even realize it themselves.
Well, it is. The thing is, we sometimes get in unwittingly stuck in these sort of intellectual ruts. We think we can only do certain things, especially as we're growing older, and we just don't think we can change very much.
Right.
But the reality is there's a lot we can do to change ourselves, and through learning, and by learning, that actually ends up improving our entire lifestyle. It helps make you healthier.
Now, when you say learning, is that physically going out and taking courses or finding a mentor, or is it learning how to be observant? What does that entail?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love the way you phrased that. Is it physically going out and learning? And we don't need to physically go out and learn anymore. We can learn online, and it works beautifully with today's very active lifestyles. You can go online and learn virtually anything you want. For example, if you, my own course is a course called Learning How to Learn,
right.
And it is the world's most popular online course, uh-huh. a massive open online course, and you can just go onto Coursera, which is a company that provides great university teaching, mm-hmm. and you can look at any course you want and on any subject you want, whether it's learning how to code or learning a fun topic on medieval manuscripts for mm-hmm. retirement, and it's really high quality learning. So that's one of the great things that's happened in just these last few years is the new easy availability of mm-hmm. great materials for learning.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like dieting or exercising. It's that you know what you want, you know what your goals are, but you never have the discipline or motivation to actually go ahead with it. And sometimes we need that kind of motivation to recognize where we are and the fact that we do want to move to something else.
Yes, and that's where a great teacher can be yes. a big help for you.
Yes.
If you're trying to learn something out of a book, it can be just so dry and, uh-huh. and hard to get yourself to go through it. But if you have a really fun and funny teacher kind of motivating and inspiring you,
yes.
and that's the kind of thing that you can find online nowadays. And it's just super fun. In fact, there was even a gold medal winner of the javelin who was from a disadvantaged background, and he couldn't afford to go to all the great meets and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually learned how to throw the javelin mm-hmm. using YouTube videos and ended up winning a gold medal in the Olympics.
Wow.
So you can learn really well online.
Wow. But it takes motivation. You know, I remember when I went to school, when I was in, you know, high school and stuff, I read books because I had to. And then when I got older, I realized, well, now you don't read books unless you want to. And that was kind of like an awakening point for me, where now I'm in control. I don't have to sit in a classroom. I don't have to listen to anybody. I can pick and choose who my teachers are and what subjects I want to get involved in. And for some people, without the structure of the classroom and without the structure of having to learn something, they tend to lose that ability.
It's true. It's sometimes I think that if you get a little bit of bad luck of the draw with
yeah.
teachers who don't click on you
yeah.
with you, you can fall out of love with
yes.
learning.
Yes.
And so that's what I talk about in the book Mind Shift, is how to fall back in love with learning. And so I traveled all around the world meeting people who had made very interesting changes in their lives through learning at all sorts of ages, you know, from young to old. And it was a really fun trip. Also, meeting all the scientists who are doing work in this area, you can change your brain and continue to learn even when you're in your 80s and 90s, and it's really healthy for you.
It is, and Mind Shift, like it just opens so many different paths for you, which helps motivate. When I hear stories about people who find something and then their life is enriched because of it, and they were the masters of that own discovery, that motivates me. I love to hear situations and stories like that. Then I can relate.
It does. It helps a lot to learn some of the insights from people who've been there and done that. Tips and tricks
yeah.
About how they keep themselves motivated
mm-hmm.
and inspired and have fun with things. And so it was a lot of fun for me just meeting some of these people and learning how they made their mind shifts.
Yes, yes. You've had an interesting life. You've done almost everything. I've read your bio, and you certainly have life experience in many different categories.
Well, that's probably the underlying impetus behind why I wrote Mind Shift was,
mm-hmm.
for me, I was terrible at math and science growing up. I just flunked my way through elementary, middle, and high school math and science.
Me too.
Hated it. Mm-hmm. And then at age 26, when I was getting out of the military, I kind of looked around me and said, you know what? I think I should try to make a mind shift and maybe open some more career doors for me. And now I'm a professor of engineering. I mean, if you'd known me as a high school graduate, that would have been like last on your list of what I would become. And if I can do it, really lots of people can make much bigger changes than they might ever think. You get yourself boxed in by these aptitude tests about what you think you're good at, and that's only what you're good at right now. It doesn't tell you how you can change.
Yeah. Barbara, doesn't it make a big difference to alter your attitude as well and your personality? Because, I mean, it's you and it's like millions of other people that you have to deal with to get where you want to go. And I noticed that when you have an attitude mind shift, that really sets the environment for what you want to do.
You are 100% correct. I think it's a bit of chicken and egg, though.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes if you have a small success, that can help you have a little bit of a change of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then that propels you forth to the next little success. And that improves your change of attitude. For me, I think this is the way it is for a lot of people. You have to kind of step back and start being humble.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn something new, just step back and start towards the beginning. Don't think, oh, you know, I can just gut this out and start at a higher level.
Uh-huh.
Just start at the beginning and take baby steps.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the president should do. Anyway, most people in their lives have setbacks, and it's the setbacks that cause them to reevaluate. Do you find that to be true?
I think it is true, and for me, it was really very true. I had a dramatic failure in that when I was in the military, I was put in charge of a platoon of signal, it was communications, highly technical group of about 50 advanced switching system operators and so forth, and I had no tactical ability whatsoever. And I failed. I floundered. I just really couldn't do a good job. And that caused me to step back and reevaluate. And in the long term, that failure turned into a big success for me. But there were several years there where I was like, oh, my word, what have I done?
Yeah.
And but just kind of bearing through and trying to learn and grow, it is a good idea to have this thought that everything happens for a good reason.
Yeah. Well, she's Dr. Barbara Oakley, and it's mind shift. And by the way, what a lovely word that is. That the name itself is motivating, which is kind of cool.
thank you.
Yeah. So give us some places to go, some websites, some ways to connect and all that.
Oh, okay. Well, you can find MindShift on Amazon.com. You can also go to my website at www.BarbaraOakley.com, and there you can see the MindShift book and also the related MindShift course and my previous book, which is A Mind for Numbers and the Learning How to Learn course. So it's all there and a little bit more about my background and how I changed on the website.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been enlightening and it's great talking to you.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water,
Aquamira,
contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques. Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats. Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Tasty, tasty stuff. Well, we're almost out of time for today, thank goodness. I wonder where my pizza is. I think I'll track it. God. What hath humans wrought? What insufficiencies of life have been brought to my table, O Lord? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. This has gone far enough. I wish you the best day of all. I hope today is a day that you will say to yourself, my goodness, what a day this has been. Have yourselves a wonderful one. I wish you peace.